Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Good morning, and welcome to The Flatline. I'm your host, Rick Hughes, and for the next 30 minutes, I'd like to invite you to stay tuned, because it could be the most important 30 minutes of your entire life. This show, The Flatline, is always about motivation, inspiration, education, and it's always done with no manipulation. So that means we don't have hidden agendas and we're not trying to get you to join up, fess up, give up, anything like that. This show is simply about information, accurate information. That information comes from the Bible, the Word of God, the canon of Scripture. It's not some human speculation. It's divine revelation from the Bible. And this show is designed to give you enough information so that you can verify and identify God's plan for your life. If you want to orient and adjust to that plan, then you have the freedom and the privacy to do so. But my job as a communicator of the Word of God is to be accurate. To be accurate. Remember that. It's always the message, not the man, that's important. I don't care how sweet and nice he is or how good he looks or how great his delivery is. If he's not accurate, if he misrepresents the justice of God or misteaches the Word of God, then he's in a serious jam. And therefore, I take my job seriously because I don't want God after me because I misrepresented him. And I'm absolutely 100% confident that what I'm telling you is truth from the Scriptures. And I'm not trying to coerce you to do anything. Just listen. You make your mind up. You make your decision. But like hundreds that have written to me and hundreds that have responded to this radio show over the 5 years that we've now been on the air, and 5 years without ever asking for a penny, without ever selling anything, God has faithfully paid for it. And that's why we're still on the air, because God has provided our needs. It's amazing to watch it happen. And he could shut us down anytime he wants to. He just shuts off the funding. But it's amazing, with no request for money and not selling anything, the funding is still there. And so here we go. We continue our show, The Flot Line. Flot stands for the forward line of troops. And that's a military acronym about the military concept of putting troops in front of the enemy's advance so that the enemy's not able to overrun the command center. And you got to have some troops out front. And we use that analogy in the spiritual life of learning the Word of God as if they were troops. And when you learn the Word of God, you put it in front of your command center, which is your mind. It's your thoughts. And this is where you're protected so that the outside pressure of adversity does not become the inside pressure of stress in your life. Learning the Word of God, applying the Word of God into your life gives you the greatest happiness you've ever seen. The Bible clearly says in Luke 11, 27 and 28, happiness belongs to the people who hear my Father's word and keep it. And those are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. So thank you for listening to The Flatline. You're always welcome to have copies of any of these messages. Simply write to me, Rick Hughes, Post Office Box 100 in the city of Cropwell, Alabama. Or you can email me from our website. Our website can be accessed by simply going to www.bigrick.org, bigrick.org. And do not go to bigrick.com. That's not me. It's bigrick.org. And there you can email us from the website if you'd like to have copies of any of the radio shows or any of our books that we offer, like Christian Problem Solving or Crash Course in Basic Christianity or Understanding Your Soul or Practicing Your Christianity. These are all books that I've written over the past 10 years, and they're all absolutely free. We don't sell anything. If you'd like to have copies of them, or more than one copy, just let us know. Today I want to talk to you about something that I found very interesting. I don't know if you remember, many, many years ago, I don't know what your age is, but many years ago there was a television show on called Truth or Consequences. Do you remember that? It was an American quiz show. And it was originally hosted by Ralph Edwards on NBC Radio before it later became a television show. Ralph Edwards produced it in association with Metro Media Television and Lorimar Pictures. And on the show, the contestants were asked a trivia question. like what could be on the table and not be cut, and answer would be a deck of cards or something like that. You know, just a trivia question. No one could really answer the question. But before they could even think about it, Beulah the buzzer would go off. The sound went off. And if the question wasn't answered, and it never was, then the contestants had to do some goofy stunt, had to be performed, and they could win money by doing these stunts. And this show was so amazingly popular that the town of Hot Springs, New Mexico, was later renamed Truth or Consequences, New Mexico, in the year of 1950. Now, after the stunt, many of the contestants were reunited with long-lost relatives or enlisted sons or daughters that returned home from military duty overseas, especially in Vietnam. So it was a great show, Truth or Consequences. If you haven't ever seen it, you need to go to YouTube and look at some of the old reruns of Truth or Consequences. I did that in previewing for this radio show, and I found it to be one of the funniest things I've seen in a long time, and I found myself wishing that we had television shows like this again, where you just laughed and laughed and laughed. So, truth or consequences? Consequences is a noun, and it means the effect or the result or the outcome of something that occurred earlier. And what I'm going to do here is set a stage for what truth is and what the consequences are for not obeying that truth. Does the Bible speak of consequences for our decisions? And the answer to that is absolutely yes. The Bible definitely speaks of consequences for our decisions. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 5, verse 21, each person's ways are clearly seen by the Lord, and he surveys all of his actions. Each person's ways are clearly seen by the Lord, and he surveys all of his actions. It goes on in verse 22 to say, a wicked person will be trapped by his own wrongs, and he will be caught in the ropes of his own sin, and he will die for his lack of discipline and stumble around because of his great stupidity. I read that to you out of a translation called God's Word Translation. It's a Bible, God's Word Translation. You can buy it at any bookstore, but it has a wonderful way of letting the passage flow and be comprehensive. So does the Bible speak of consequences for the decisions that we make? And the answer is absolutely yes. Listen to John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Now verse 36 of John 3. He that believes on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. So here's a principle. Number one, God allows us freedom to choose. He gives us something called our volition. It is your freedom to choose. He, and this is what you need to remember, solved our righteousness problem. You see, we're incompatible with God because of his righteousness. Thus, we could not have a relationship with God unless this righteousness problem was satisfied. Because the Bible says there are none that are righteous, not even one. Thus, by solving the righteousness problem, Jesus Christ made it possible for a simple decision to determine our eternal state. And that's why the Bible says, he who knew no sin was made sin for us, so that we may be made the righteousness of God through him. The Bible also says in Hebrews 9:27, talking about truth or consequences, the truth is John 3:16. The truth is John 3:36. And here are the consequences. Hebrews 9:27. And as it is appointed unto men, once to die, but after that the judgment. So here is the first great decision that must be made that obviously has consequences. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the anointed Son of God? Do you believe that? The Bible says, he that believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, 1 John 5:1. Paul said, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and your entire household. Remember John 3:16, God so loved the world that whoever would believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Because if you reject that thought, If you reject the idea that Jesus Christ is not God's Son, then you're also rejecting the payment that Christ made for your sin. You're saying that, number one, maybe you don't even believe in God. And number two, if you do believe in God, that maybe you don't believe that Christ was the Son of God. And if you don't believe he was the Son of God, then you obviously would not believe that what he did on the cross was for you. But if you reject the payment that Christ made for your sin, then you or me, anyone that rejects that payment, must spend eternity in the lake of fire. This is the justice of God. And God makes no exceptions. That's the truth or consequences. The second great truth that we must come to understand, out of Hebrews 12:26, for whom the Lord loves, he chastens, and he scourges every son whom he receives. Truth or consequences? The Lord loves and chastens every son that he receives, scourges every son that he receives. Listen to 12:9 in the book of Hebrews. Furthermore, we've had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much more rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? Proverbs 15:10 gives the key to that last word in Hebrews 12:9. So let's back up, listen, and let me put them together. Furthermore, we've had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much more rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? Did you hear that? That conjunction, and live. The connective chi with the word zao, and live. But what does that mean? Proverbs 15:10 goes on to say that correction is grievous unto him that forsakes the way, and he that hates the reproof of God shall die. So let's look at it this way. As a child of God, a member of the royal family of God, someone who has put their faith and trust in the finished work of Christ on the cross, you will be disciplined when you sin. God tells you that. And why does he do that? Because, number one, what the Bible says, whom the Lord loves, he chastens, and he scourges every son that he receives. Did you hear that? Now, why would God chasten us, or why would God scourge us? Why would he do that? To keep us from destroying ourselves. Same reason you would do it to your children. You would chasten your child. You would discipline your child, even whip your child. If they did something that could harm them, you would try to teach them, first of all, by putting something in their mind. And then if that didn't work, then you would teach them by putting something on their behind. So there are two ways that we teach our children. Put it in their mind, or put it on their behind. And it starts with authority orientation. And if a child doesn't learn to respect authority, then they will self-destruct and maybe, just maybe, take other people with them. Well, it's the same way with God. God's trying to teach us authority orientation. The authority for our life is the Bible, the Word of God. And when we ignore the mandates of the Bible, when we ignore the principles and the procedures set forth in the Word of God, then God disciplines us to get us back on the correct course, to get us off of the my way highway that we may have wandered down. He has to do that because he loves us, and he's not going to leave us alone so that we self-destruct. He's going to discipline us. So it comes under warning discipline, where God puts something in our mind. And then it comes under intense discipline, where God puts something on our behind. And then it can even be dying discipline, where God has to take us home. He has to remove us. That we're still going to heaven. We're still children of God. We haven't lost our salvation. Christ said he would never leave us. He would never forsake us. It's not that God doesn't love you anymore. It's that you're more dangerous to society if he leaves you here. And so a lot of believers have gone home early. Earlier than they should have gone home, because they couldn't learn by putting something in their mind, and they didn't obey when he put something on their behind. And so over a period of years and through many, many, many bad decisions, he said, I'm just going to bring you home. And he does it. And that's called the sin unto death. It's in the Bible. 1 John 5 talks about it. And it is when a believer is taken home too soon. So we're warned in Romans 6, verse 12, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you would obey it in its lust. Did you hear that? Sin makes demands on you. Lust demands obedience. And so you have a choice. You can either obey God and the mandates of the Word of God, or you can obey your sin nature and the lust thereof. But somebody you're going to obey. You are going to use the volition that God gave you, your free will that God gave you, and you're either going to obey God or you're going to obey the lust of the flesh. Didn't Eve do the same thing? God said you can have anything you want in here, but don't touch that tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Don't eat that fruit right there. And she ate the fruit. She used her volition to go against God. And you see, that's exactly what we do as well. We use our volition to eat the forbidden fruit, to get into sin, to break fellowship with God. And the consequences are discipline. Truth? Well, the truth is don't let sin reign or control you. Don't obey the demands of the lust. Don't be obedient to sin, but instead let the Holy Spirit control your life. Let the Holy Spirit be in control of your life. That's problem-solving device number two. And how does it work? Well, when you know you've sinned, you must rebound the sin or recover from the sin. And that's 1 John 1:9. It says, if we confess our sin, then He, God, is faithful and just to forgive us. So once we recover from our sin or by using the rebound technique, then we're filled with the Holy Spirit. It's not some weird second blessing. It's not something that happens when your eyes go cross-eyed and you look up to the ceiling and you start foaming at the mouth and singing, Do Lord. That's not it. You are indwelled by the Holy Spirit when you get saved, and you are filled with the Holy Spirit any time you name a known sin to God. See, you're either going to walk in the Spirit or you're going to walk in the flesh. You're either going to be spiritual or you're going to be carnal. You can't do both of them at the same time. So either the old sin nature is controlling you, causing you to be carnal, or the Holy Spirit's controlling you, allowing you to be spiritual. Spiritual doesn't mean mature. It just means in spirituality terms, you're filled with the Spirit. But you must be filled with the Spirit before you ever become a mature believer. And carnality means that the old sin nature is controlling your life. And if you don't recover from the old sin nature's control, then you're going to go through warning discipline, intense discipline, and eventually, maybe, dying discipline. So the third great truth or consequences comes on the scene. Those whom God has blessed should be prepared to honor Him by being faithful. Those whom God has blessed should be prepared to honor Him by being faithful. Here's a national illustration. The United States of America, the great country that we live in today, we have taken our eyes off of the giver collectively, and we have begun to focus on the gifts. So when we take our eyes off of the giver and we focus on the gifts, then we have lost our motivation. Let's remember something. As a nation, we have been blessed. The number one blessing that God gave us is freedom. Freedom is our most valuable asset, and that freedom requires responsibility. So God has blessed us with freedom, and freedom requires a volitional response. Again, we go back to your volition, and that's called responsibility. The Bible says in Luke 12:48, in the B part of that verse, for unto whom much is given, of him shall much be required. So, our number one blessing in a nation is the freedom God has given to us. And our number two blessing within this nation, the truth of the fact is this, is our prosperity. Truth or consequences? Well, here it is. Truth number one, we're free. And truth number two, we're prosperous. Jeremiah 17, beginning in verse 5, talks about how we lose our prosperity. The United States of America today lives in perilous times. Let me read some verses to you, and you make your own decisions. In Jeremiah 17:5, thus says the Lord, being cursed is the person who puts his confidence in man and who makes the sin nature his strength, so that his heart turns away from the Lord. Principle: when we look to a man to provide security, when we look to a man to provide equality or prosperity, we lose our focus on God, and that's a terrible mistake. You see, hope or confidence for America is not based on some new face in the White House. It's not based on some new political system that may be implemented. Our confidence comes from problem-solving device number 5, which is biblical orientation, doctrinal orientation. It comes from the Word of God in our soul. We don't depend on some person to make us happy. We don't depend on some person to provide us for what we need. We depend on the Lord. We are sojourners. We are passing through here. This is not even our permanent residence, and thus we don't need to get too worried about it. So, our hope comes from the Word of God. And any other hope, any other confidence, and any other person is some sort of unrealistic expectation. How can anybody put their hopes for security and prosperity and equality on a government that has already created the greatest indebtedness in human history? A government that has already proven itself to be fiscally irresponsible. I mean, just as an illustration, Congress can vote themselves a pay raise by voting not to reject their automatic cost of living raise that will increase their annual salary by $3,400 a year. Did they say, no, we don't want that cost of living raise? Well, the answer is no, they did not. They accepted it. But when it comes to you that may live on Social Security, well, what did they say about you? Well, there can be no cost of living increase for you. No cost of living increase for Social Security recipients in 2010. Now, I'm not a politician, and I'm not pushing any political agenda on this radio show, but anybody can see that this type of inconsistent leadership, if you put your faith and trust in that, you're just blind. The men in Congress and the women in Congress can vote themselves a raise of $3,400 a year, but they can't give you a small cost of living raise for your Social Security benefits? Now, let's get off of politics and let's concentrate on this. A believer who puts his hope in a man, the believer who puts his hope in political change, the Bible calls him a tumbleweed. Listen to Jeremiah 17:6. Let me go back and read Jeremiah 17:5 for you. Thus saith the Lord, cursed is the person who puts his confidence in man, and who makes the sin nature his strength, so that his heart turns away from the Lord. And then 17:6, he will not see values when they come, for he shall live in parched places. What does that mean? Well, it's not referring to physical possessions. It's saying that there's no rain from the Word of God in his soul, that nothing spiritual is being watered or grown. In other words, he lives in parched places. This means that the person who has put his hope or confidence in man for his prosperity and his security has dried up his soul spiritually. Listen to this verse in Psalm 32, 3 and 4. David, speaking of being out of fellowship with God because of the tremendous sin that he committed with Bathsheba and murdering her husband Uriah the Hittite. This is what he said. When I kept silent, my bones became old through my roaring all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy on me. My moisture is turned into drought of summer. In other words, his vitality was dried up. His soul was a parched place. He had no fellowship with God. He had unconfessed sin in his life, and he felt himself dying every day. And he said in verse 5 that he went to the Lord and confessed his sin, and that God restored the vitality of his life back to him. in Jeremiah 17:7, continuing the study, Jeremiah 17:5, 17:6, and 17:7. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, and whose trust is in the Lord. So he shall be like a tree being planted by water, so that he does not dry up when the heat comes. He does not dry up when the heat comes. Now let's back up one little bit before we go on here. This tumbleweed Christian is the person who has no roots, the person who is susceptible to any wind that blows and comes along. And thus we saw 6, they won't see the real values of what they are, Jeremiah 17:6, and their soul shall be a parched place. And then the antithesis is, blessed is the man who has trust in the Lord, or being made happy is the man who uses the faith rest drill, and whose trust is in the Lord. He shall be like a tree being planted by the water. Thus he does not fear when the heat comes. The heat is the outside pressure of adversity. You see, consequences come in a nation when that nation rejects the truth of the Word of God. What are the consequences for the United States of America if we continue on the course that we're on, trusting in some politician or some political system to make us secure and to give us prosperity and equality and security? Well, 1, America was built on a foundation of freedom inspired by faith. I'm going to say that again. America was built on a foundation of freedom inspired by faith. So, 2, when faith goes out the window, freedom is sure to follow. When faith goes out the window, freedom is sure to follow. 3, under intense fear, the faithless now look to a man to solve their problems instead of looking to the Word of God. 4, God is neglected, thus Jesus Christ is rejected. And the consequences, 5, are found in Hosea chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. And I will focus on verse 6. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Because you've rejected knowledge, I will also reject you, so that you shall no longer be priests to me. And since you have forgotten the laws of your God, I will forget your children. There are the consequences of neglecting God, and neglecting God's word, and chasing after the gifts and forgetting the giver, and putting your confidence in a man instead of in a God. We are a free nation today because of the faith of our founders, and we are continuing to be a free nation because of the word of God that has sustained so many of our leaders. And now today we find ourselves at a crossroads in history where people doubt the Bible, doubt the validity of the Bible. And if you're a Christian and you speak up, well, you're considered to be weird and a little goofy. What do you think about that? Are there truths in the Bible? Yes. Are there consequences for not obeying the truths in the Bible? Yes. All I can say is you're responsible for your life, for your decisions. All I can do is give you the information. I hope it makes sense. Until next week, this is Rick Hughes saying thank you for listening to The Floodline.
Thank you for listening to The Floodline with your host, Rick Hughes. If you'd like to contact Rick, please write to him at P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054, or on the internet at www.bigrick.org.